E.
Good morning and welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. Our program number is 877-300-7645. I had promised that we would I would answer Nick's question before we moved on to Peter. Peter is calling from Alberta, Canada, about sexual abuse in the Roman Catholic Church. And Larry is still on the line with us as well. Nick's question was, what about all the people in the world that are unaware of the Torah? And he added unaware of this religious method. The Torah is not religious. It is the antithesis of religion, Nick. The Torah is devoted entirely to a singular concept, and that is the Bereth, the covenant, which is a family-oriented relationship with God. The covenant is opposed to religion. As a matter of fact, the first requirement of the covenant, if you wish to participate in the covenant, is to walk away from religion. You cannot be part of the covenant and be religious. So it is an anti-religious concept. As for making people aware of it, Yah's Torah is the single most publicized and distributed book in all of human history. We have far more ancient witnesses to the text of the Torah than and Yah's Torah exceeds the first five or six books of his witness. His Torah teaching exists throughout the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. But we have more ancient copies of it, more complete copies of it, by many magnitudes than any other book in antiquity. And it has been published in more languages than any book in human history. And so there is no document that is more available for people to consider. Now, that being the case, the reason that God is so opposed to religion and politics is because in religion and politics, entire societies are led away from God. Entire societies are beguiled. And so God is opposed to religion and politics because they do this very thing, Nick, that you brought up. They make it much more difficult for people to come to know Yahweh. And so what happens then to those who don't come to know God, who are beguiled by the religions of the tribal systems in Africa, for example, or beguiled by Muhammad's Islam, or beguiled by socialist secular humanism in the vast swaths of territory in the old Soviet Union and in China, is that they simply cease to exist. God gave them the gift of life. He gave them the gift of free will. He gave them the gift of a conscience. And that, unfortunately, so many people, religiously, politically, militarily, have beguiled them, and they never came to know Yah. And so at the end of their mortal existence, they simply cease to exist. There is no punishment for them, but they did not come to know Yah, and he did not come to know them. It is a story of squandered opportunity, but nothing more than that. Okay, with that answer, I want to turn to Peter in Alberta, Canada. Hello, Peter. Are you with us?
Hello.
Thank you for calling in. I understand that you have. Well, thank you. I understand that you want to talk about sexual abuse in the Roman Catholic Church. Maybe even compare it to the kind of beguiling influence of what an imam encourages a suicide bomber to do something that is awful. That there is a similarity there.
Yes.
And that you have a personal experience that I don't know if you're comfortable sharing, but I hope you are, because the story that you can tell is one that we all need to hear.
Okay. Thank you. I'll just say that up to 10 years old, looking back, my life seemed to be a normal, typical youth. I got adopted into a Roman Catholic family who on the outside were devout, going to church every week, dressing up. I was put in very early to be an altar boy. And I found myself in a position with a Roman Catholic brother who took me under his wing. And, of course, being 10 or 11 years old, I was very impressionable, you know, seeing all the ritual, et cetera, the trappings of the church and the system.
Mm-hmm.
I was also looking for a father figure. I didn't have mm-hmm. one when I was young. He was very unavailable to me all the time. So I did go under the wing of this brother. And,
no, Peter. Peter, can I interrupt you just one moment here and add a comment? And I the Roman Catholic Church works very hard at creating the very environment that caused you to be a victim of their religion. They try very hard to create this grandeur, these magnificent buildings, and all of the pomp and ceremony, the dressing up, all of it is specifically designed to give them credibility and to be impressive. And second, God tells us, don't call anyone father other than your natural born father and him, because there is no father other than him. Oh, we somehow lost Peter on the line. We technical challenge here. We're going to have to hope that Peter is able to call back. But God does not want us to call anyone father. And the Roman Catholic Church has sought to create this myth that the Pope is a holy father, and they operate their whole mentality is to present the priests as a father figure so that people would be comfortable exposing themselves to them. Oh, well, Larry, that's I'd say a real shame.
On words?
exposing themselves. Hello, Larry. Yeah, somehow, and I don't know what happened on with our technology, but well, let's hope that this person ringing back in is Peter. If it is, then we should have him right back. And I hope that I didn't. Well, hello, Peter, are you back with us? Peter?
Yes.
Oh, hello, Peter. We lost you there for a second. I'm sorry. I don't know if you heard. Well, all I was sharing is that the Roman Catholic Church works very hard to create the very environment that influenced you. That was by design. It was by intent. They come across as a father figure. They have their Pope as the Holy Father, and they build all of this monstrous trappings and all to be impressive, to exude credibility. So, as an impressionable child, it is almost impossible for a child not to be beguiled by all of that, because it's even beguiling and blinding for adults.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah, go on with your story, Larry. Excuse me, Peter.
Well, basically, from the time that I was abused sexually, I was put in or taken into a crypt where. Some of the dead bishops were interred, and that's where it happened. Anyway, after that, basically, I was totally blinded, didn't know what was going on really, and just went along with the brother. And then I went shortly into full-blown rebellion against every authority figure, my parents, mm-hmm. everybody.
Yeah.
And then
your parents had abandoned you. I mean, your adopted parents were as responsible for what happened as was the Roman Catholic Church. They are absolutely responsible. Every parent who allows their child to attend a Roman Catholic Church under any circumstance is absolutely responsible.
Yes, I understand. So then I just probably committed just about every sin you can think of, to numb my feelings.
Yes.
Numb out. That's what it's called now.
Yes.
And so I went that track for 30-odd years, became an alcoholic, a drug addict, a womanizer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the only reason I'm alive now is that by the time I was 32 years old, I had hit bottom with my addictions. I lost everything. And it was either, you know, put the bottle away or die. And so I chose to fight it out and go into 12-step programs. And none of all of the investigations that I did towards my own life, assessing my own life in the program, the sexual abuse never came up. And I found myself without the bottle, but still doing things that I was doing when I was drinking, continually numbing out.
Yes.
And then about 1991, I was working with adults who had physical and mental disabilities. And on a trip with one client, we were watching TV one night, and I accidentally turned on to CBC, and they had a movie called The Boys of St. Vincent about an orphanage in, I think, Newfoundland in Canada here, that were all sexually and physically abused. And I watched 20 minutes of it and then turned it off. And then from there, a couple months later, all of these memories started flooding in. And I found myself in a rage, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in a rage at everybody. I had to quit work. I couldn't work. I couldn't cope with anything. And
you know, that none of that is your fault. I mean, all of that was done to you, and it was done deliberately to you by your adoptive parents and by the Roman Catholic Church.
Yes.
They did this to you. There is no crime more devastating than pedophilia. And particularly when pedophilia is done under the auspices of family and done under the auspices of religion. And you had both.
Yes.
So, unfortunately, we're down, I guess, to 10 seconds before the break. But
credit score. They gave me the right perspective. They got the ball rolling, which is what I needed. I needed someone to help me get in the right direction.
Call 800-936-5348 or visit mydebthasmedown.com.
The U.S. Postal Service is on the brink of default on a second multi.
I am your host. We are having some real challenges back in Genesis Communication Network headquarters, so we hope that we're able to continue to bring you this program because Peter's testimony is riveting. My last comment to Peter, who is still with us, is that I want Peter to know, and I think he does know this, that he is. This was done to him. It was done deliberately to him. The single greatest crime that can be committed is what was done to Peter. And it's amazing that Peter has survived it. And we are indeed fortunate that he is able to tell us this story, because this is a story that every parent needs to hear. Do not expose your children to religion. When you do, you are doing an enormous disservice to them. Religion is evil. It is, not only was it the religion that did this to Peter, but it was his adoptive parents that contributed to it. Peter, please continue with your testimony.
Yes, well, thank you. I would like to say that on the bright side, I may.
Yes.
Is shortly into a few months later, 1992, found a doctor who dealt with clients like myself recovering or in the situation that I found myself anyway. And he directed me to a family lawyer and a litigation lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I began the arduous, horrifying process for 3 years of litigation against the Roman Catholic Church. I was the first one in our major, the capital of Alberta, to do it. I was the first one to go public as well.
Thanks for encouraging.
I went through the whole process of 2 years of intensive weekly counseling with the paid for by the Catholic Church. And then we got to the point where, in litigation, that I was claiming for punitive damages,
mm-hmm.
Because of, the loss of basically, anything worthwhile.
Yes.
That I might have had.
Yeah. It was appropriate for you to do so.
Happen.
It was appropriate for you to do so.
Yeah. So, it went on, three separate times. The Catholic Church offered me, first they offered me $9,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Then, with stipulations saying that it was my parents' fault because they were alcoholics. It was my family's fault. It was everybody else's fault, including mine. Okay?
Oh, my.
Except theirs, okay?
Wow, they're such a despicable organization.
Yes, I told my lawyer, I said no.
No, of course not.
Then they came back with $13,000.
What a despicable organization. I
also
hate the Roman Catholic Church.
Criminalizing me and my family.
Wow.
And then I said no again.
Your family needed to be penalized. Your family was did conspire against you. Your family needed to be held accountable. But the primary accountability is still the Roman Catholic Church. And you hold zero accountability in all of this.
Yes, well, if I went on, the last offer was $20,000, or we go to court. And
go
I was
to court.
Told by my lawyer that they would rip me apart.
They couldn't.
If I went to court.
No, they wouldn't. Your lawyer then is another victimizer here. Your lawyer lied to you.
Well, that's what I was told. So finally I said, okay, I'll take that, because I didn't want to get ripped apart.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Court.
I'm sorry.
And
your lawyer lied to you.
Yes. So, well, from there, I had to go in, and basically after the lawyer's fees and all the other fees were paid for, I ended up with $13,500.
For a lifetime that had been stolen from you?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I despise the Roman Catholic Church.
Yes. And then I also had to sign a waiver saying that I would be banned from every Catholic organization right across Canada for life.
Wow. Wow. Peter, I think we've reached a break. Please stay with us after the break. Hopefully we'll get through these technical challenges that are existing within the system as well. Your story needs to be heard. I admire you for being willing to tell it and able to tell it, Peter. Please stay with us. I am Yada. This is... Hello and welcome back to Shattering This. I am your host, Yada. I come to you with a very heavy heart. We're hearing a testimony that is absolutely riveting from Peter in Canada and the courage that he has displayed. Before I ask Peter to continue with his witness against this tragic and evil religion, let me make one comment. Peter was told that the very religious institution, the Roman Catholic Church, that had tormented him by committing acts of pedophilia against him, using all of the wealth and pomp and ceremony and imagery that is designed to impress, then threatened Peter telling him that if he sought an apology from the Roman Catholic Church, if he sought recompense for the hell that they had brought on him, that they would go after him and torment him all again. Imagine an institution claiming to speak for God that is so demented, so demonic, so repulsive, that it would threaten a victim, someone that they victimized by saying, if you hold us accountable, we'll victimize you all over again. Now, if you're listening to this testimony by Peter, and there are millions of Peters out there who have been victimized by the Roman Catholic Church in this specific way and threatened by this church in this same way, and you're tolerant of this evil institution, or worse, you're walking in its doors, you're supporting it, you're turning the souls of your children over to it, shame on you. There is a reason that God etched in stone that we ought not expose ourselves to a religious environment, and that he warned us that parents corrupt their own children to the third and fourth generation. And there's a reason that the lone prerequisite of engaging in a relationship with God is to walk away from religion. Peter, I am so very sad that not only did the Roman Catholic Church torment you in this way, but you were told that they would go after you and torment you all over again for holding them accountable for what they had done that was so tragically evil.
Yes.
Please go on with your story, Peter. It's, again, this is something we all need to hear.
Thank you. I did get a taste of the horror that I would get in court when we went to discovery. That's where my lawyer's side and the lawyer for the Catholic Church would go into discovery with me to cross-examine me and to try and find that I was lying,
right?
Okay, or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it lasted 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
My lawyer only sent her assistant there. My lawyer didn't show up.
Your lawyer's a scum. Your lawyer was a scum. Yeah, that's that has got to be the worst profession in the world anyway, but your lawyer was a scum.
And the lawyer for the Catholic Church grilled me for 6 hours straight. I didn't have a lunch break. They didn't give me a coffee break. I had to ask for a coffee break. Okay?
Yeah.
6 hours of grueling, and it was cross-examination, but they would ask me one question. For example, what were you doing in the summer of 1959? And then 2-3 hours later, they would ask me the same question in different wording.
Of course. They were trying to get you to contradict yourself.
Yes.
So that they could demean you in the stand. They were trying to decide, would you be a credible witness against them, like the 30,000 young boys that the Roman Catholic Church molested in Northern Ireland. A big case just came to light in Australia this past week. The huge case in Los Angeles and again in Boston. What the Roman Catholic Church recognized and they used the money of their parishioners was to determine whether one person who was willing and had the courage to stand up and hold them accountable would be a credible witness against them. When it's a class action suit and there are 5, 10, 100, 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 victims,
yes,
then they don't use that tactic, because all they know that if they use that tactic and you abuse the victim, that the punitive damages that are awarded by the court become astronomical.
Yes.
And in this case, they knew that their victimizing of you had caused much of your life to have been hellish, and they wanted to use that against you. And there's only one way to have the courage to stand up under those kinds of circumstances, and that is you either need to know Yahweh as he really is and understand why he hates religion, and therefore you're relying on him for strength, or yeah. you're represented by very, very good and strong and noble people, and unfortunately you were not.
Well, I did have one major strength in my life at that time, and I had accepted Yahweh and Yeshua as my Savior in 1986.
Okay.
So well, that'll
go a long way. There is no more reliable individual than Yahweh. And as you know, his anger against Roman Catholicism is infinitely greater than yours, mine, or the rest of the world's combined.
I understand.
Roman Catholicism has no greater foe, no greater enemy, no one who is more adverse and angry, disgusted at them than God himself. The
yes.
primary enemy in this world of Roman Catholicism is God. He hates the Roman Catholic Church.
I understand. They found that they could not find any holes or lies or contradictions in my statements.
Well, that's remarkable because we humans are all flawed and failed, and that's a remarkable statement in and of itself. Because you know, I can't remember what I did in 1959. I'll guarantee you that.
Yes. So that is why they pressed to have a settlement
yes.
outside of court.
Yes.
And then with that, I finished that part of the process. Then I still couldn't work. But then I had an opportunity in the year 2000 where, and I still have the newspaper clippings here, front page, about priests should marry. That was the headline of that day,
mm-hmm.
Of a major newspaper here, the Edmonton
mm-hmm.
Sun. Anyway, that triggered and gave me an opening to go public.
Yes.
The Catholic Church made a mistake in not making me sign a waiver saying
right.
a non-disclosure.
Correct.
So I was free to do that, and I
yes.
did with a vengeance.
Good for you.
I brought all of my court documents with me and everything else, my story, to the newspaper offices one evening. They said, you have all the court and settlement papers, everything. I said, I have everything.
Yes.
So then I started getting into the news for the next 4 months. I was on television. I was on radio. I was in two newspapers. And at every turn, I castigated the church.
And you're a very credible witness.
Yes,
Peter. Yeah, you
yes,
are.
That's why they put me on.
Yeah, you're a powerful witness. You can hear it in the tenor of your voice of this great tragedy this evil institution of the Roman Catholic Church has done, and this conviction of yours to be willing to tell the truth and expose and condemn them, and knowing that that's the single best thing you can possibly do. It's the most loving, compassionate, courageous. It's the single most moral thing you can do. To expose and condemn this evil so that it makes it harder for them to victimize others. I admire you for it, Peter.
Yes, and I on the Ched radio show, the talkback show, I was on for 45 minutes one day, and I had offered my phone number and name, full name, on air for anyone out there, male or female, to call me if they wanted to, if they wanted to go forward in their lives and do the same path that I was on to complete the healing. And I did get four callers call back and start asking and sharing and asking for help too.
Well, because you're in a position to help for two reasons. One, you have actually recovered from the travesty that was perpetrated by this disgusting religion known as Roman Catholicism and
yes.
Christianity. And second, more important than all of that, in fact, the reason for all of that, is you've come to know the only source of salvation. And by salvation, I'm not just talking about, you know, being saved and therefore being able to live forever and being in God's home. Those are wonderful things. But salvation, as you know, Peter, is a byproduct of the most genuine, most loving, most nurturing, most uplifting relationship ever conceived.
Yeah.
Salvation is a byproduct of the covenant. And for you to be saved, you have to now know a true and reliable and loving Father. Yahweh.
Yeah.
Is your Father. He's my Father. He is your Father. He's just Dad. And all he wants is to hug you, lift you up, uphold you, support you, help you grow, make you enjoy the rest of your life, which will be eternity, for you to be able to share with people who have been victimized, whether it be by political authority or religious authority, that there is hope, and here is where that hope is found.
Yes.
The one individual in the entire universe who you can rely on. One of the things about pedophilia that is so destructive is it causes you, it puts you in a position where you recognize that you ought not trust anyone. Your parents not only didn't protect you, they made you vulnerable to it.
Correct.
The religion, which is the place you're supposed to turn for support and help in these things, they were the perpetrator. And the system, the political system that was supposed to protect you from them, turned against you. And so how in the world, apart from God, does anybody resolve these issues? I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We're having an amazing conversation with Peter, who will continue to be with us after the break. Please stay with us. This is Shattering Myths. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. Today, the real host of the second hour of our program has been Peter, who is calling from Canada, telling us a story that the entire world needs to hear. It's a story that has been dominant in the news from time to time. A major case recently settled in Philadelphia where not someone all the way up at the bishop level, but a fairly high-ranking Roman Catholic was found aiding and abetting priestly pedophilia. Large cases settled in Boston and Los Angeles and in the Midwest of America. A large case that has just come into renown in Australia. The most massive modern case, 30,000 young boys and girls victimized by the Roman Catholic Church in Northern Ireland. Cases that have been brought in Italy, in France, in Spain, Belgium, really across the world. Peter's story is not unique. He is one of millions of children. Now Peter is a man, but Peter, as a child, was victimized by the Roman Catholic Church. It's why God hates religion in general, and in particular despises the Roman Catholic Church. And we're considering the testimony of Peter has had from having his parents abandon him to this evil institution, having the trimmings of the Roman Catholic Church create the impression that they could be trusted, and then proving that they could not be trusted, and then rather than admitting to the heinous crime they had committed, the Roman Catholic Church instead trying to re-victimize the very person that they had victimized as a child. And fortunately for Peter, he found the one reliable source, the one path away from all of this. And fortunately for us, because of that, Peter has the good sense, the courage, the conviction, the moral fortitude to share his story with all who will listen. Peter, please continue.
Thank you. After going through the public sphere in the newspapers, the media, TV, radio, etc., etc., I had gotten counselors, psychologists along the way, and other interesting parties presented themselves as psychologists,
mm-hmm.
helpers, et cetera, et cetera. And I went through probably five, at least five, four male and one female, and I found that the female family lawyer was the most sensitive, the most transparent, the most helpful for me in this situation, this ongoing situation. She went to bat for me. She said right away, when I mentioned court, she says, I will be there with you.
Mm-hmm.
The other four psychologists, as soon as I brought up the word court, they
right.
said, no, 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 that's not part of the deal. No, we're not going to show up in court. Okay? And I also got re-victimized, betrayed by the very people who were purporting to be psychologists and helpers of victims.
Yes.
I got betrayed and re-victimized by these very same people who...
Yeah. All of society turned against you.
I found out in time that some of these people were actually working. They were trying to fill their pockets
mm-hmm.
with the Catholic Church's money and influence because they were working as a dual agent. They were working on one hand to help me, and then they were getting all sorts of information and on-camera interviews from me and everything else where I poured my whole heart out.
Right.
Wouldn't tell anybody else. And then they turned all this information over to the Catholic Church.
Wow.
And
society is a...
devastated me.
Yeah, there's a reason that God speaks of Babylon, which is this combination of evil, of the influence of society and politics, our human families, society, religion, and all of it, how it is so awesomely debilitating, unreliable, corruptive. Unfortunately, we're at the end of our program today. Peter, I hope that you call back again tomorrow and in future programs. This is Shattering Myths. Have a wonderful day.
Hey, this is Steve Schultz, and you've been hearing top radio personalities talk about longevity and how people are getting healthy and making an income at home. You see, I've built a 7-figure income.